we can learn a lot more about how God is bringing about these transformations in our lives, because repentance is a process. It starts at baptism, but it's a lifelong process where Jesus Christ is working in our lives. And this is kind of a takeoff on last week. Remember me wearing the sweatshirt that said, God is writing our story. Just don't take his pen away. And on the sleeve, it said, trusting Jesus, because that's what really matters, is we need to trust him to work things out in our lives and don't try to tell God what to do. We can ask and seek and knock, but let God do his mighty work of creating your conversion story by him living his life in you. So I'll let Bob go ahead and share his story about how God worked in his life, and then we'll follow the list on the chat box that you see there, Tulip, and then Tyler, and then volunteers, and some written stories.
Yep, thank you very much. Well, to begin with, and I don't want to take a lot of time because I know a lot of you want to speak, but I'll just give you a little background on me. And then long before I met Mona, but about 1970, I came into contact with the Worldwide Church of God. And I did this by watching the World Tomorrow broadcasts that were hosted by Garner Ted Armstrong, who was a son of the head of the church, Herbert W. Armstrong. In any case, time passed, and finally by 1977, Mona and I were relocated to New York. We lived on Long Island, and we wanted to get involved in a church. So I called headquarters, and they gave me the location and the time that the local church met. And we started attending late 1977. By 1982, I had, both of us, I think, equally, but me especially, I'd had it up to here with the church. I saw nothing but hypocrisy and prideful living that was, to me, just absolutely ungodly. So in 1982, we were through. We left, stopped attending, and I did... Basically, I guess you could say, I tried to keep the Sabbath holy, right? Didn't work on the Sabbath, but didn't go to church. And we studied our Bible, but certainly not as much as we did. And then by 1989, in August, we moved here. We moved to California. Things were going well. Employment was good. But in December of that year, Mona had a call from her mom that her sister, this is... Mona's the oldest in the family, but the sister, the next sister in line, had an aneurysm. And so we got a plane ticket, we got two plane tickets to Taiwan, and we went there. The funny thing is, when we moved out here, and all of our belongings were still in storage, included our Bible. I, at that point in time, didn't see much need for a Bible. I did believe in God, but certainly didn't really see any of the churches as representing that God that I knew had to exist. But funny enough, after work one day, probably in, I think it was in November, I walked down to Valco Mall when it was still there, and just walking around the mall, and I went to a bookstore, and I bought a Bible. I bought this Bible. Little tiny old Bible, King James Version, and I don't know why. I have absolutely no idea. And that morning, when Mona called me and said that her sister had an aneurysm and we wanted to go to, you know, be with her mom and her sister because she was still alive, we couldn't get cheap tickets. We had to go basically business class, and it was rather than around $2,500 for two people, it was about $3,700 per person. But we were able to go there anyway. I had this Bible packed in my luggage, and we were told when her sister was going to be brought home that she'd be taken off life support because there was no hope, clinically completely brain dead, but still breathing, heart still pumping, but she'd be taken off life support and she'd be able to die at home. And that's what our mom wanted. So at that point in time, Mona's dad had passed about 7 or 8 years earlier, so it was just her mom and her siblings. So her sister's brought home, they take off the life support, but she still keeps breathing. She's got a tube down her throat so she can breathe through that. And she's not only breathing, but she's rocking back and forth, I mean, as her heart beats. And we think, well, maybe that's just the chemicals that they put in her. But she continues to do this that day and the next day, and then an argument breaks out in her family about what to do. One of Mona's little sister basically says, well, you know, we should get a home for her and just put her in there. And her mother says, well, but they say that she's never going to get better. Maybe we should just take out the tube and just end her life right there. And there was a lot of arguing. Well, at this point in time, I was in our bedroom where we were staying at Mona's parents' home, and everyone else leaves the room. Her sister Sue, who had the aneurysm, is staying. And Mona comes to get me, and she says, well, yeah, I'm lonely. Can you come here and be with me? And for whatever reason, I took my Bible. And we're kind of sitting there, and Mona's explaining everything that's happening, because obviously the argument that was ensuing earlier was in Taiwanese, and I didn't understand it. And Mona asked me to pray.
I don't know and, why neither.
But. So this is a nice Bible, and the fact in the very back of it, there's a dictionary, and there's a concordance on words. So I decided, well, okay, what would be a good scripture? So I looked up healing, and it gave me James 5:14. And so we kneel down at the bed where her sister Sue is, and I open this up, and I read, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And at that point in time, it hit me that, you know, said, Father, I'm not a righteous man, but there's a lot going on here. And if you would please heal Sue or take her in peace, we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. And in less than a minute, she started to breathe regularly and then just slipped away, peaceful. Before that, her eyes had actually popped out of their sockets. It was like dead fish eyes. They receded again.
And tears ran down from the side of her eyes.
And then when
she heard it,
Mona told her mom, and they came down, and they called somebody over, one of the doctors or practitioners, and they took the tube out of her throat, and she was actually smiling, and she was at peace. So I looked at Mona, I said, when we get back home, we're going to go back to church. And when we did get back home, I gave there again the Lowi Church of God headquarters in Pasadena a call. I said, do you have a local congregation here? We're in Sunnyvale. And I gave her my number, and she contacted the person I talked to in the headquarters, contacted Bill Jacobs, who was the pastor out here at that time, just before Mel. And he called me up, and his question was, so why do you want to go back to church? And I said, I don't know. I just feel I have to. And he says, well, that's good enough for me. So December 30th, 1989, was our first attendance to the San Jose Congregation of the Worldwide Church of God. And we basically, well, we have, except for either sickness or a business trip, have been coming back ever since. And I see back then God's hand in the wonderful blessing that we had, even through tragedy, is to understand that no matter what happens, hang in there. There's things that, I'll tell you this, no church has as the total, complete knowledge that God wants us to have. We're all growing, and we all make mistakes. And the most important thing I see, and I've seen for a long time, is even through mistakes, always show love. And that's the greatest blessing of all. And so that's how we came back to church, and that's one of the testimonies that I've given many times before, and it had a big effect on us, and I think it will with others too. But anyway, thank you very much, Pastor Mel, and I'll turn it back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. And Tulip, if you're ready, let's hear what you have to say.
Hey, Pastor Mel. Tyler actually would like to go first. Is it okay?
Okay, that's great.
The reason I want to go before Tulip is because I know she will give a very long testimony. So, yeah, but my version, so it's much shorter. Okay. So I was raised actually as an atheist in China, because we received education about Darwin theory of evolution by natural selection. So I think before I moved to USA, actually I have no chance to have contact with Christianity. During Christmas time of 2002, I moved to USA for my graduate school. Then I think after I moved to USA, I got a chance to meet some Christian friends. And particularly we met a director in school chapel. I think her name is Karen. Actually, she was very impressive for me because the first time I saw her, she gave me a kind of very special feeling. I feel she has a kind of special characteristics I never see before in China. So she was so caring, friendly, and devoted to God. I have never seen this kind of person before. So in USA, I met her and two of my other friends, Chinese friends, I think, yeah, they are a couple. They are also very devoted Christian. I think this Christian friend, they invited us to Bible study. Then during the Bible study, I remember I raised a lot of naive questions, challenged them, and they always patiently answer my naive questions. And during this process, I feel some change on me. I feel kind of maybe God really exists because there are so many things actually we cannot explain. During that process, I think I'm closer to God. So actually I study in Madison, Wisconsin. So I study for my PhD degree over there. Then I think in 2005, Leah was born in June 2005. I think after that event, I feel kind of financial stress. So I decided to find a job with my master degree. So then I think during that time, Tulip and I pray a lot, and our Christian friends and Karen, they also pray a lot for us. So amazingly, I find an interview from a high-tech company in Santa Clara. So then I just fly over there, and amazingly, I got a position. I just passed the interview and got a 3 months internship position. Then I think the whole family, we decided that, since I got an internship position, then probably we need to move to California. That is a big decision for us. So I think at that time, Tulip and I and Dia, we fly to Santa Clara during Christmas of 2005. At that time, Leah was only half a year old, I remember. After we moved to Santa Clara, we was kind of concerned, how can we reconnect with God? And amazingly, I think after we moved to here, we want to buy a used car from Craigslist. Then we met Pastor Mel. I think Pastor Mel was selling one of a church members used a car on Craigslist, and we met in person and have a small talk. I think during that talk, Pastor Mel mentioned that he was a pastor in a church. We feel Pastor Mel is trustworthy. Then we just finished the transaction with Pastor Mel. And I think after that happened, Pastor Mel called us several times and invited us to the Bible study. I remember, so Pastor Mel, I think in order to suit my schedule, Pastor Mel organized the Bible study during weekend. For that Bible study, I think quite a lot of church members attended, such as, I think, Mona and her husband, Tony. We also have Ning, Domingo, and Simon. And I think later on, I think Natalia and also Muhammad also joined us. I remember that Bible study just lasted, I think, more than 1 year. I think one time during Bible study, actually, I don't know why, I feel so moved. Then I just told the Pastor Mel, I feel I'm ready. I need to get baptized. I think in 2007, I was baptized. I think during this journey, I feel so blessed. I feel my family received so many blessings and grace from God. I think, that is why. So I made this decision. Yeah, I think that is my story about my journey to Christianity.
Thanks very much, Tyler. And so, is Tulip game?
So, Pastor Mel, first of all, I would like to say thank you so much for giving me and Tyler such opportunity to just look back how many blessings we have got from God. And also, this is I also grateful. This is the first time for Tyler to give testimony. So yesterday he asked me, "What are you gonna say?" I say, "Let us just keep it a secret." So we're gonna just give each other a surprise. So yes. So because he actually kind of give lots of details what happened before. So I have to change my, yeah. So I'm very grateful Tyler actually accepted Pastor Mel's, invitation to give testimony. Yeah, so as Tyler mentioned, when we were in China, actually, I myself never heard gospels. So after I came to Madison, Wisconsin from China in 2003, and immediately, actually, I just found a small chapel on campus. And also, I got to know the director, Karen, as Tyler mentioned. And then the director, Karen, just opened the path to Jesus Christ for me. She invited me to their weekly Bible studies. And also, she took me to visit many churches in Madison. And also, I got to know two Chinese Christians from University of Madison, Wisconsin. And as Tyler mentioned, actually, life in Madison wasn't easy for us. And then, but we have a number of Christian friends. They always kind of, came to us and reached out to us and helped us. And their sincere support and kindness just attracted me to desire to know Jesus Christ more and more. And then it was just so nature. Eventually, I just came to accept Jesus Christ as my savior when we were in Madison, Wisconsin. And then I just, as today's title mentioned, I feel like I am grateful that no matter where I am after I came from China, I always have God's people around me and Tyler and Leah. And then I feel like it is just God's people. They're just God's ambassadors. They told us gospels. Not only that, they showed us the love. They showed us the love from Jesus Christ. And then they have been helping me and Tyler and Leah to grow the faith. So as Tyler mentioned, after we moved to Bay Area in 2006, we came to know Pastor Mel the first week after we arrived. And Pastor Mel took us to our church and helped us move and also started a Bible study in our home for our convenience. And it was just such a surprise because I have had prayed for, Tyler's, faith for a very long time, but just one day and then surprisingly, he volunteered to just, ask for a baptism. So it was such a big blessing for us. And also I would like to say in Bay Area, we actually didn't have any family members around us at that time. And also Leah actually is the only child of us. But just looking back, Leah actually has been surrounded by the love from our church family just through so many years. And then also myself, I am so grateful. So many names I would love to mention, and they helped me grow my faith. Pastor Mel, Barbara, Brenda, Mary Lou, Idri, Simon, Edna, Myrna, and Cheryl, Betty, Betty Shammers. And also last month, a few months ago, and our church family's prayers for my dad's cancer treatments not only helped me to go through the difficult times, but also helped me grow even more spiritually. And also during the journey, I kind of, you know, have had a lot of reflections because I feel like this is a good opportunity to just see, you know, how many blessings we have had from God and so many God's people, ambassadors sent by God came to help us. So I just ask myself what I could do. So I heard lots of sermons and then I realized God also wants us to also reach out to others, to just, you know, spread his words, his love. And also our purpose here on earth is to glorify God. And that is why I am also very grateful that Pastor Mel and Barbara give me many opportunities. Like I started to do worship leading, and also in my Chinese Bible study, I started to facilitate a Bible study. So just through so many leadership roles, and I kind of, you know, knew, and I can be part of this job to be the ambassador for God, and I can do something to help and reach out to some other people to spread the God's words. So I am very grateful for all these opportunities. And also I came to realize why God asked us to have fellowship with other disciples. And it is just because we cannot overcome the temptations and the difficulties on our own. So thank you so much, Pastor Mel, for such a great opportunity.
Thank you very, very much, Tulip. That's very, very kind. We really appreciate the sharing. And
well, I'll go a little bit on mine. It's Bill Bryce.
Oh, wonderful.
My mom and dad were all baptized in the 20s in the Church of God Seventh Day. And that's what Mr. Armstrong, when he went to Oregon, that's why he was involved with those people. So they were baptized in the 20s. So we were Sabbath keepers all my life. I never knew anything else. That's why it's difficult to change. But in 1946, I left home and came to Utah out of high school. I graduated high school and went to work at Kennecott. And I got involved there playing pool and what have you. So church wasn't even a part of my agenda until 1960. And a broadcast that Mr. Armstrong started on a KDYL 1960. And I had a little portable radio I used to take to work with me and listen to him. I sent it in and I says, I would like to be baptized. That's all I put. So my brother Charles was at Ambassador College. He got my letter and he fired it back to Salt Lake and the team was still here because their car had broken down. So it was Mr. Albert and Mr. Sharp. And they were still in Salt Lake in 63. So they got in touch with me. And it was about 9 o'clock at night. Mr. Freeze, a local man, brought them to our house. They took about 10 minutes. Because they had a place reserved in Salt Lake. It'd take about 20 minutes to get there, and it closed at 10. So they said, he's ready, let's go. So we all went in, and I was baptized in August 13th, 1963. And then after that, we, you know, came back home, and Bertha says, well, do you feel any different? I says, no, but I did ask Mr. Albert. I says, do you anoint? And he says, yes. Now, I had a bad disease or whatever it was in about 1954. And I'd had side effects ever since then. I was allergic to everything. So Mr. Albert anointed me. And from that point on, I was free of my allergies. My nose would plug up, my hay fever. I'd run around in my basement in our home just so I could breathe, and then I'd stop and close again. So I was baptized for that, and I was very thankful that I even thought about it. And then in, it was in 67. The church started in August of 66 after we'd had a Bible study in 64 and that. In 66, our church started, and I'd worked with all the ministers that was ever here. There were 8 different ministers came over the years, and I worked with them because I was on strike this one time in 67. Kennecott went on strike for 8.5 months. So Fred Coulter got in touch with Mr. Meredith and headquarters, and they hired me. So I worked with the church, Salt Lake and Boise, and we went all over as an assistant, then went back to work. I worked on until 19 with the church. I retired from Kennecott in 1985. Mr. Don Lawson was here the very day I retired, April the 10th. Headquarters hired me again to work with Mr. Lawson at $200 a week, and I got on the insurance. So we did that until they moved him to Tulsa, Oklahoma, when things began to occur in 89. And then in 1990, they called me to go full-time San Jose. So Bertha and I were shocked that they wanted us to go down there, but we did. We drove down, and I saw that sign that says population almost 800,000 people. That scare almost turned around and left. Not too many people for me. But we went ahead, and we were privileged to work there in 1990 until 94, when I was concerned they were going to ship me someplace else, and I was ready to go back to my home in Utah. So, but in the meantime, Mr. Dahlgren had come, and he and Marty and myself, we worked good together. I know that one day we were at a place, and Mr. Dahlgren and Marty wanted to give me I had a computer on my desk. I had not typed since 1946. So this was in 94 or 92 at that time. And they were going to make me in charge, and I bawled. So he said, oh, never mind, because I was so unsure of myself. But we worked good together. We go golfing, and we did all kinds of things. It was a real blessing for Bertha and myself to go there and to meet all the tremendous people in San Jose. It's over 600, and there was about 150 in Aptos. And how we learned who everyone was was just small groups. If you remember, you'd go out on certain days to Olive Garden or wherever it was, you'd go eat. But we would go, and it'd be a small group. I got involved in softball with men's and women's, spokesman's club, men's, you know, the club, and then the graduate club. So it was small groups that helped me get acquainted with such a large crowd. It was one of the greatest blessings that God did with us, that we were there. And then, of course, in 94, in the late fall of 94, they sent us back to Utah. And then I became serving here with Bill Johns, Kirkendall. Well, when they was making the change in 95, they called me in early part to take care of the church while they could get somebody else. And I thought, okay. I didn't know heads or tails, but that's okay. And I says, when you send somebody that's converted and that's committed to this way of life. And so they did, as Mr. Kirkendall. And so that was many years ago, but we're still headed there now, and we're thankful to still be involved, and I'm glad I can hook up. And I see familiar names on the board here of the people that we met, knew, and loved in San Jose. So thanks for letting me express myself.
And thank you very much, Bill and Bertha, for your faithfulness. And we had so much fun when you were here. I loved going down. We used to go down to golf down in Gavilan College, remember? And we golfed there for free for a couple of years. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, Marty and I got there one day early, and we got a cart. We says, hey, Bill, let's Mel. And the cart for free says, let's tell Mel we'll take care of the carts. You take care of the lunch. That's what we used to do, is go back. And we were going, and I couldn't keep it to my Marty's. He says, don't give in that. I said, nah, I can't hold this back. That's not right. So I told Mel that the carts were free, so Marty got upset with me, but that was one of the jokes that we had.
Well, those were the days. And then we finally found out later on that the free golf carts and the free golf at Gavilan College was supposed to be only for pastors at Gavilan College. We've been golfing there for a couple of years.
Yeah, that college, but we lucked out for a couple of years.
Yeah, we sure did. It was a lot of fun, and it was a delight having you guys with us. So thank you very much for.
We were really blessed for that. We got very close to the Larry and Betty, and that's who we'd visit when we'd come down for our visits. We'd stay with Betty and Larry for that time. We got very close to them.
Well, we're going to hear a little bit from Larry here because he wrote this up 15 years ago, and I'm going to share that. I'll begin. The first one that comes up in the book here is by Cheryl Becker. Thank you, Cheryl. Here we go. I love to tell the story. As far back as I can remember, I always went to church. It was just what our family did. But as I got older, I thought I might be missing out on something. I felt our church had a lot of restrictions. Everyone else seemed to be having a pretty good time, and they were going to church every week. So during my senior year in high school, I started going to more school activities and parties that weren't connected with my church. Then I went to college, and during my first year at college, I went to a party. The music was loud, and everyone was smoking cigarettes and pot and getting drunk and everything else. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh, God, what am I doing here? I managed to find a quiet room on the third floor, and it was a little study that overlooked a garden, and I knew the kind of life this party represented was not the way I wanted to go. There I talked to God and asked him to forgive me for my sins and to come into my life, and he did. I've never once been sorry about that decision or even looked back. Some may ask, how do you know there's a God and he's interested in you? And I say, when your time comes, you will know, and you won't have to ask that question. Mine is not a very dynamic story, but I'm thankful for my relationship with God, and it gives me such peace of mind. I always know that no matter what happens or what is currently going on, the end result will be good. Thank you very, very much, Cheryl. The next one in the list that's here today is Debbie Sanders. I was raised as a Catholic, and Mom decided it would be a good idea if I finished my last 2 years of high school at a Catholic school. We lived in Australia at the time. I grew up overseas and came across different cultures and beliefs. I don't really remember thinking about God until I was about 16. It was then that I wondered if there was a lot of different gods, or was there actually one God, or maybe God didn't really exist at all. One of the subjects I was taught was evolution, and I was starting to believe it. The Catholic religion was not my cup of tea, and after all, God did not exist, or at least so I thought. About a year after first thinking about God, I was lying on my bed late at night, wishing I could believe in God and wondering if he really did exist. Right about that time, I started listening to a broadcast on the radio. It's funny how that happened. The person on the radio was proving that God existed and that evolution did not have a leg to stand on. And as he was doing this with the aid of the Bible, at the end of the broadcast, he challenged me not to believe him, but to pick up my Bible and blow the dust off of it and read it. It took me a while to take him up on the challenge, but after all, I had to go buy a Bible first. But I kept on listening to the broadcast. They gave away free literature on evolution and other booklets. They even had a free Bible correspondence course. So I sent away for some of the literature and the correspondence course. All this time, God was working with me through the broadcast, changing my mind toward him. I'm sure glad God did not give up on me during this process. It wasn't until 5 years later that I committed my life to God and was baptized. It has been a great journey ever since, and I will always remember how God guided my first steps. God has been in every aspect of my walk with him, and I wouldn't change it for the world. Thank you very much, Deborah. And here we have, next one is Larry Seamus. My religious life began like so many others. I was born into a Catholic family, attended Mass every Sunday, ate no meat on Friday, and went to confession whenever I needed to wash the guilt away. I was baptized as a baby, confirmed as a preteen, and on my way to following a dull routine with no relationship with God. Then, when I was in the sixth grade, we moved to a new town to accommodate my dad's work during World War II. My mother, who was an inquisitive sort, liked to read books and wondered about spiritual things. She met a neighbor who attended a non-sectarian Bible church and became curious about what else might be, quote, out there, unquote, in the world of religion. After visiting there for a bit, we abandoned the Catholic Church and became regular members. I was only 12 at the time, but quickly got caught up in the Bible preaching I was hearing. I also began playing my clarinet in the church band and became familiar with a lot of old traditional hymns. I was baptized, again, in a pond outside that church at about age 13. I believe this is when I became born again, even though the truth of the fact was not revealed to me until many years later. This church had an outreach program teaching Bible stories to children after school. So I became a teacher, using a flannel board to illustrate the stories and leading the children and singing children's Bible songs. In our town, there was a youth Bible club that met every Friday night. I remember that I religiously attended, listening to speakers, singing songs, and praying on my knees with another boy at our seats. This was my church life through my teen years. Although I went to a lot of church activities, read my Bible, and prayed a lot, I have no recollection of any relationship with God during that time. Sometime after graduating from high school, I met Betty, the love of my life, who was Catholic, but in name only. I say that because Italians say they are Catholic, even though when they don't attend Catholic services. Betty grew up going to Catholic schools early on, but after moving out of the city of Philadelphia, she stopped attending church at all. I took her on, quote, dates, unquote, to some of my church activities, perhaps hoping to convert her, but her Catholic upbringing was too strong. As we began talking about marriage, it became clear that she would not get married anywhere but in the Catholic Church. I didn't care for that idea, but love is a strong motivator. My resistance was low at the time, and so he agreed to her wishes. Along with that decision came a promise to attend the Catholic Church and bring up our children in that faith. Secretly, I thought I could still follow what I thought was right, even though we attended the Catholic Church. I settled into the routine of attending Catholic services, even though I wasn't getting any spiritual nourishment. After about 6 years of this, I heard a preacher on the radio whose message sounded good. Although it was steeped in legalism, parts of the message were true and coincided with my early Bible teaching. Betty became interested as well, and eventually we decided to attend this church instead. So I was baptized again. After about 27 years of following these teachings, God intervened and turned that church around, transforming it from an old covenant legalistic church into a new covenant grace-based church. I wonder what church that is. I immediately embraced these teachings, and God's spirit, which had been in me since my teen years, became alive again. That was 14 years ago, which now is 30 years ago. Since then, I have slowly grown in spiritual maturity, but only recently have I fully understand that the gospel is so much more than what I realized before and what it means to be truly born again. Knowing that Christ lives his life in and through me fills me with hope and peace. It's been a long journey with a lot of detours. I still don't know him like I want to, but that's my goal as my story continues. Thank you very much, Larry. And Larry was our associate pastor here for, how many years was it, Larry? Probably 30 or 40. But anyway, thank you for your faithfulness and all that you did for us for many, many years. We have two more in the book here. This is from Edrey Feltz. I love to tell the story. I can't remember a time when I didn't believe that God is creator. How else could the beauty and synergy that I saw each day as I worked on our farm be explained? My mom took me to Sunday school and church on a regular basis. I was friends with the pastor and his family, and when I went to the summer camp at 14, I remember asking Jesus to come into my heart. But it was done from peer pressure, not with an eye to changing my self-sufficient lifestyle. I continued to rub shoulders with Christians, but couldn't understand as I tried to read the Bible. I finally gave up and put my Bible on the shelf to gather dust. During those early adult years, I married and had four wonderful children. I also went through a painful divorce, and it was at that time that the kids and I went back to live with my parents for a while. My mom had recently learned about the second coming of Jesus Christ, when there would be no more pain and sorrow, tears and crying. It sounded wonderful, and I started dusting off my Bible to do some serious study. This time it made sense to me, and I was ready to commit my life to Him, this time with an eye to changing so I could become more like Him. The first physical miracle I remember in my life was as a young single mom. We were asked to leave our rented home because the landlady wanted to sell the house. I searched diligently but couldn't find any housing. I was on welfare, and people were unwilling to rent to me. As a last resort, I called County Housing, and I told them my plight, and they said that I would be put on a 2-year waiting list. Within a week, they called back to say we could have a house that was in the same school area just 2 blocks away and cost us only $37 a month. Hebrews 13:5 says God will never leave us or forsake us. I was convinced that that was true. He also showed me the other part of that verse that says to keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, which is very important for peace of mind in our materialistic society. God provided me with a loving husband when I thought I would never be able to remarry, another wonderful daughter, and some opportunities to grow in ways we all wish we didn't have, such as the loss of 2 daughters in separate car accidents, and my husband's Alzheimer's disease and eventual death over 8 years ago, which is like 23 years ago. These are miracles of a different sort that God is using them to shape me into the likeness of His Son. I learned things through these trials I would never have learned any other way. I know I can trust Him with everything I have because He is always there to give me peace and comfort. I look forward to my daily walk to see how He is going to work in and through me so that I will become more like Him and have more love for my fellow man. Thank you very much, Edrie. And we have a story by Artie Saraceras. I was 14 years old when Christ made Himself known to me. I was born to a Catholic family and went to church faithfully, as all Catholics did, but I never read the Bible. But then we started attending an apostolic church. The pastor gave me a small Spanish Bible and told me, as I read it, if I had any questions, be sure to ask him. My mother loved the Lord but couldn't read or write, so I would read the Bible to her. I was only 14, but when I began to read the Bible, I couldn't put it down. I wanted to learn all I could about Jesus and be close to Him, and I was baptized at age 15. I had a sad childhood, and I came from a dysfunctional family. My parents had a hard time staying together, and as a result, I was brought up in a foster home where my foster mother was very good to me. She kept taking me in every time my mother and father separated. There was alcoholism and drug abuse and a lot of drama and unrest. I was the youngest of 8 children, and my mom had 3 children, and my dad had 4 children. I was the only one with both a mom and a dad, so there was a lot of jealousy toward me from the other children. I grew up, got married, moved around a little before settling in San Jose. We became a part of the Worldwide Church of God San Jose congregation in November 1969. My encounter with Jesus has been a job in progress. It has brought me peace, a peace that is with me in all my circumstances. As I look back in my life, I can see where all this has happened to me in my childhood, brought me closer to my walk with Jesus. And as the Word says, I have learned to be at peace in all my circumstances, and I really believe that my Heavenly Father shall never leave me or forsake me, and that He works all things together for good. I've always loved music, and I guess my love for God and music came from my mother's love for God, and as a result, I love to witness through that means. God has blessed me with the gift of service, and that's how I get my greatest joy. So those are the stories that are in the booklet. I love to tell the story that we published about 15 years ago, and many of you probably didn't have a chance to read that. And let us conclude with prayer. Father, we just thank you very much that you have given us a magnificent life with you, where we have a future that is incomprehensible, where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and no more death. And Father, help us to share this good news with people so that they can have the same hope because of what you have done in our lives in the transformation that we could never thank you enough for. It's just off the charts, the blessings of being able to understand your word and to grow in grace and knowledge in our relationship with you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. And so, God, to be you be all the glory, the praise, and the honor. And thank you for giving us everything that we need. And we love you with all of our hearts. And we praise you and thank you now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.